I used to play in a football team for a number of years, and our football team, even though we weren't Catholic, we would go to the midnight mass. It was a pretty cool thing to do, a bunch of kids coming in, sitting down the side, not knowing anything that was being said. But it was Christmas. One of the first Christmas. Matthew chapter 1, we'll have a look at, and then we'll look at chapter 2 of Luke. When we think of the very first Christmas, we have these amazing concepts that it was such a calm time for Joseph and Mary. Kind of seemed that little way in the video. Quietly making their way to Bethlehem, some 90 plus miles from Nazareth by foot. Mary is heavily pregnant. The shepherds are in the field. We have that picture of the shepherds in the field just kicking back. Then an innkeeper, as they get to Bethlehem, who's very apologetic, sorry we don't have the honeymoon suite or the room suite set up for you. You know, really, I'm really sorry. But we have a stable over there for you. It's available. It's a perfect place for you to have your first child alone. The lovely, sweet-smelling animals, they've all clean in the stable where Jesus would be born. It's absolutely clean straw. Such bliss. Not so. The reality of the first Christmas. We have it in our minds, but is that the true picture? Could it be that the very first Christmas was a whole different scenario than our nativity scenes portray? I'm reading from verse 18 of Matthew 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Scandal. She's pregnant. But while he thought about these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, which is impossible, isn't it? And bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now in Luke's gospel, it says, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar, Luke 2, that all the world should be registered and taxed. The census first took place while Quirinius was governor. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child, it says, who was great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem, see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. That's the story from two Gospels. But let's take the lid off. Let's look at the reality of what happened. Let's remove the Photoshop lenses. Let's look at what really happened that very first Christmas. The first Christmas was about dreams broken. Precious trust simply shattered. Joseph and Mary, their relationship brought nearly to destruction. Young couple longing to be married, their lives torn apart, it seemed. The first Christmas was about love turning into heartache and brokenness for Joseph and Mary. It was about loneliness, misunderstanding, as Mary was to be set aside by Joseph, cast aside, to be divorced, shamed. It was about oppression and dictatorship, the time of Jesus' birth, hopelessness. Rome ruled the world. There was a tax burden. They had to go to their native cities and there be censored and taxed and then travel that far. Even though she was in her late stages of pregnancy, 90 miles by foot, by donkey. The first Christmas, it was about poverty and no thought by anyone about a young Mary who was pregnant, because there was no room in the inn. "Oh, you're pregnant. Oh, you got no money. Oh, look, well, here, you move out. We'll make room for you." It was about surrender. Joseph, a troubled young man, believing God's word, and Mary believing that Mary had not been with another man, but she's pregnant. The first and only man ever asked to travel that path. It was about common people, shepherds, hearing the news first of the Christ while actually being on the job, blue-collar workers, just working. And shepherds watching over their flock and an angelic host, a choir appearing just to them. It was about God the Father sending His Son as the message of hope, yet being sent, born as a babe in a stable in Bethlehem. It was about the greatest choir that heaven has ever had, singing to a few shepherds in a quiet field, as I said before, away from everyone, never seen before or since, proclaiming peace in a dark world, such an event. It was about hope actually coming, the promise that God had made back 6,000 years previously, that the seed of a woman would come, the Messiah would come. The first Christmas was about a baby born in Bethlehem who was born a king and who Pilate nailed upon his cross would die as king of the Jews. But also very importantly, and I want you to hear this, the first Christmas was about you. You're involved in the story. The Bible's about you. It's your story. It's your life found in the Bible. It's your situation that is in the pages of this book. Your hopes, your dreams, your fears, your anxieties, and your salvation. How? God came into the world as a babe to ask you, to reveal to you what God is like, and for you to invite Him into your life. He came as a child, so as to bring an end to your brokenheartedness that we all at times will go through. Loneliness that every man, woman, and child on this planet suffers at some moment or another. Hopelessness that grips our lives when things happen and we have no control over them. Because we are apart from Christ. The first Christmas was to make the rich poor and the poor rich. It was to bring peace in a miraculous way into your storm, into your struggles, to give you hope and to give you life eternal. Tonight I want us to look at two areas, the courage of Joseph and the faith of the shepherds, and see how they have a message for us tonight, 2019. There are many antagonists of the Christian faith, you would have heard them, who fire off the argument that Christianity, going to church, is simply a crutch to those who are weak and in and of themselves unable to deal with life. In fact, the very opposite is true. It takes courage to follow Jesus Christ. The Center for the Study of Global Christianity in Hamilton, Massachusetts, has estimated that this year and every year previously, more than 100,000 Christians die annually throughout the world. Simply being killed because you're here, like here tonight, and you believe in Jesus Christ, you've been put to death. Open Doors Ministry says that each day a staggering 11 Christians are killed for their faith throughout the world. So we look at the courage of Joseph. Joseph had courage to take the heat. And you know what I mean by taking the heat. Joseph, he's a simple carpenter. He's an ordinary worker. The Bible is about ordinary people who found God and who God came to. God didn't appear in a palace. He didn't come to the kings. He came to the workers on the job. Joseph, a carpenter in a small village called Nazareth. Now, in a small town, everyone knows the carpenter. Everything was made out of wood in those days, even the wheels. In fact, everyone knows everyone's business in a small town. They all knew Joseph was to marry Mary. It had been arranged when they were little children. Mary's pregnant. Everyone knows in Nazareth she's pregnant. They're yet to be married. The wedding hasn't occurred. They haven't been together yet. The town is abuzz. All of Joseph's friends, all his tradie mates, are going to say, either, Joseph, you got her pregnant before you were married, or she's been with another man and unfaithful to you. Wake up to yourself. Can you imagine Joseph trying to tell them the truth? He's buying timber down at the lumber yard, cutting it down, selling a table down to the marketplace. I can explain how she got pregnant. It was through the Holy Spirit. What? All followers of Jesus Christ will experience such a need for courage in some of their relationships. There are going to be a lot of people who just don't understand your walk with God when you follow Christ, your obedience to God, and in many cases, your reputation will suffer. We only have to look at a rugby player who was the pin-up boy for the Wallabies. And whatever you think about what he said, he cut and pasted the Bible and put it on his own Facebook site for his own people to see. And he was crucified. In the Nicene Council, from which we got our Bible put together, there were 318 delegates that attended that put our Bible together. And not more than a dozen had not lost, of those 318 delegates, had not lost an eye or a hand, or did not limp upon a leg shrunk by the burning iron of torture. Courage to be a Christian. Joseph's story is about courage that first Christmas. But not only will courage be needed to take the heat, as Joseph showed us, and for you and I to be a follower of Christ, secondly, it will also take courage to give up your right to something that you and I struggle with every moment of our day, self-determination. How so? Because this is what Christmas is all about. This is Christianity in a nutshell. The angel tells Joseph what he is to name his child, his boy. Now, in that patriarchal culture, it was the father's absolute right to name his child, particularly the firstborn, and indeed the firstborn son. It was a sign of his control over his family. But the angel takes that away from Joseph and commands him, directs him to name the child that you're having, Jesus. That's his name. The angel is revealing to you and I today, tonight in Secret Harbor 2019, that if Jesus is in your life, if you're a follower of Christ, you're not in control. You're not the manager. You're no longer in charge. Joseph was being told the child about to be born is your manager. He is in charge. In fact, he's your Lord. Many people struggle with following Christ because of this. Well, I'd like to be a Christian, but not if it means I have to do such and such. Negotiation. We see people today negotiating with children in shopping centers. You don't negotiate. You parent. We see couples about to get married. They're having a prenuptial arrangement, negotiating. This is how it's going to be. When you say that and think that you're going to negotiate, you're going to put the rules down on what sort of relationship you'll have with God, then you're changing the name of the child in Bethlehem. Because the child in Bethlehem, his name was Jesus. And Jesus means Savior. And Savior means he's come to save you from your sins. When you come to Jesus Christ, you must drop your conditions. There's no negotiation. There's no contract. There's no agreement. If you do this, I'll do that. You give up the right to say, I will obey if you, I'll do this if. Can you imagine married couples getting up and doing the vows and going through and they go, well, we don't need you to say anything, minister. We've got it sorted out. I'll love you if you have a good job, mow the lawn and do this. Well, I'll love you if you make sure you clean your teeth, comb your hair and tidy up after you. Well, I'll love you if, and it's chaos. You see, to be a follower of Christ this Christmas, as with Joseph, in the very first Christmas, you have to give up your right of self-determination. And that goes against our very nature. We want to be in control. To have the courage to go against the flow of the culture. Well, everyone else is doing it. Everyone else is doing this and doing that. To deny yourself is what the Bible calls you to do. Jesus actually says it. He said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him, her, deny him, herself, and take up their cross every day and follow me. I want to ask you a question tonight, Christmas 2019. Because Christianity is not for cowards. It says in the book of Revelation chapter 21 that cowards will not enter heaven. It says it, read it for yourself. Do you have the courage to take the hands off your life? Do you have the courage to give yourself to God Almighty, the child born in a manger in Bethlehem, as Joseph did? He surrendered everything. Do you have the courage to begin a lifetime of grace and peace? That's what God gives you. Do you have the courage to live a life of obedience, following God's commandments? Joseph had the courage to admit he was a sinner. How so? Because Joseph did everything wrong for a good period that first Christmas. You see, how often that is the case in our own lives. He thought Mary had been unfaithful. He was going to put her away. He was going to divorce her. Yes, he was a gentleman. Because by the law, he should have had her stoned if she's unfaithful. Adultery. But he says, no, I'll divorce you. I'll do it privately. That's what he thought. He was arranging that. He was going to divorce her and put her away privately. After all, he had done nothing wrong. It was Mary who was pregnant. He was going to have nothing to do with this child. It's not his child. It was all Mary's fault after all. She was the one who got herself pregnant, miraculously pregnant. You cannot know Jesus personally unless you have the courage to admit you're a sinner. This is why there is a Christmas. That's the reason there it is. This is why Jesus came. It was his entire mission. That's why he's called Jesus, to save us from our sins. Sins? Sinners. That's us. To save sinners. For all have sinned, the Bible said, and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says, there's none righteous. No, not one. It tells us in Matthew 1:21, she'll bring forth a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's why he had to be named Jesus, not Joseph Jr. We struggle with this in our Australian culture, don't we? Well, I worship God in my own way. I give to charity. I live by the golden rule, whatever that golden rule is. Someone tell me one day what that golden rule is. I think I'm right with God. I do the right thing. Besides, I thought Jesus came to empower us and love us. Yes, he did. He did all that. That's true. But firstly, before everything and anything else, he came that first Christmas to forgive us, because everything comes from that, to be forgiven. The question is, tonight, 2019, are you willing? Are you courageous enough to say tonight, I'm a moral failure? I'm not saying that. Okay, you don't have to. But it's true. I honestly don't love God with all my heart, soul, and mind. That's the first commandment. We've all broken it. I don't love my neighbor as myself. I'm kind with my neighbor, but I don't love him like as myself. Therefore, on those things, therefore, based on what the Bible says, I am guilty. You're guilty. I need forgiveness and God's grace before I need anything else. You see, we want to get the cart before the horse. We want our marriage fixed. But people, listen, the sinners need to be saved to get the marriage fixed. I want to be a good father, a good mother. Yeah, good. We all do. But I need to be right with God before I can do that. Keith, how do I get this courage? How do I get rid of my old self-image and get a new one? I don't know how to do what you're asking. And here is where we bring the shepherds into our final piece of the puzzle. Do you recollect the first words that were said to the shepherds that first Christmas? Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." First thing. The shepherds were terrified. In the Bible, people always experienced traumatic anxiety and fear when they got near God, or even the angels who came from his presence. This goes right back to the beginning, the book of Genesis again. In the Garden of Eden, when there was originally no fear between man and God, man walked with God, talked with God, then man fell, sinned. And the first thing that man did, Adam ran and Eve ran and they hid in fear of God. Hid themselves. We tonight, everyone in this room, even if you're a 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 70-year-old, We all fear rejection. That's why we dress a certain way. We dress the way our peers dress. We do what our mates do. We go along with everyone else because we want to be included. We all fear rejection. We all fear failure. But if you were filled with God's love, you would not care what people think. You would not care what people think. One of the greatest problems of people today in many mental institutions is they are so concerned what everyone thinks about them, driven with mental anguish. We fear the future, circumstances. But if you knew God, you would know that God is good. Bible tells us that. You know that God is in control. Bible tells us that. That you would trust Him. Trust Him with your life. You would not be afraid of death. And I experience talking to people on their deathbed many, many times. And I've seen the fear of death change when God enters into their lives. And they call out to God. And they say, Keith, I'm scared of dying. What's going to happen to me? And I can open the Bible and tell them, guarantee them, this is what the Bible says about death. But this is what God has done. And God removes supernaturally, miraculously, that fear. And the last person that I buried, police officer, he said, Keith, now I'm ready to go. You tell the doctors, let's turn the morphine up. I'm ready to go. I know where I'm going. You see, that's the miraculous thing. You see, he's thrown his self-governing ownership over his life away. He doesn't want any, because when you get to that final point in your life, what are you to say? Well, I'm not going to die. No. When you move from a ward and they put you into hospice, you're only coming out of that hospice one way. You would not be afraid of death because you would know you would be with Him forever. But when humanity chose to throw off God's rule in their lives, it broke the relationship with God and we were filled with fear and became subject to terror. Well, what's that got to do with the shepherds, the first Christmas? They experienced fear and terror before the angels. They felt threatened by the presence of the holy, but the angels gave them the answer to remove their fear. They said, do not be afraid. And then it says two other words, often overlooked. It says, for behold. Then it goes on to say, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you in this day, notice how personal it is, in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. There's the answer. What do you mean? The word behold means be perceiving. Look, see, understand, examine, comprehend. Behold who this child is. Understand why this child has come, and you won't be afraid anymore. Our greatest fear, that of surrendering control. That's why marriages bang heads, because both parties want to be in control. You're both wrong. God's in control. Our greatest fear, surrendering control. How can we trust God with our lives? That's a good question. How can you trust God with your life? The answer is that little baby in the manger is the Almighty God. Christ the Lord. Jesus, the Savior of our souls. Jesus came into our world as a babe born in a manger in Bethlehem. He came for one reason, to save us and to die for us. God became a man for that reason and that reason only. To remove all your fears, he came to do it personally. This is why he came. Will you not have the courage and faith to trust somebody who did all that for you? He did all that for you. Only Christianity says one of the attributes of God is courage. No other religion has a God who needed courage. Where does that occur, you ask? Jesus could only save us by facing an agonizing death by crucifixion that had him wrestling in sweat like blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. God became mortal, human, and vulnerable so he could suffer, be betrayed and killed for you because he thought you were worth it all. It says, hark, the herald angels sing. It says in the song, mild he lays his glory by. Jesus came, almighty God laid his glory aside. Deity becoming man. Jesus did all this voluntarily, willingly, lovingly. And how great a portrayal of innocence for you to trust is a baby. As a child, surely you can trust this child. Surely you can look to him and say, I can trust, I can put my life, I can trust in him. So Almighty God came as an innocent, helpless infant, born in poverty in Bethlehem, for you to know you could trust him. The angel was telling the shepherds, you want relief from all your fear? Behold, look at Christmas. Look at what Jesus did. This is God. To the degree you behold, you perceive, you grasp, you ponder in your heart, courage will rise and your fears will diminish if you look at the child. Tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to say a prayer. And if you'd like to pray this prayer and repeat it after me, we'd love to give you a Bible to take home for you to keep. Because the reason for the first Christmas, it was all about you. God did all this for you. He came and suffered and died. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes, that's all you have to do, believes in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. But the choice is yours. I'd like us to bow our heads, close our eyes. I'm going to pray this prayer. And if you'd like to pray this prayer with me, then your life tonight can change because of the very first Christmas. Repeat these words after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you died for my sins and rose again from the dead. Right now, I turn from my sins and open the door of my heart and my life to you. I confess you as my personal Lord and Savior. I do this with the courage you give me now. Thank you for saving me tonight. This I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer It's not based on any church creed. It's not based on any 10-step program or therapy. But if you prayed that prayer tonight, the Bible says God has forgiven you. And right this moment, God has set up His Holy Spirit in your heart. And the Bible says that He, right this moment, has changed your life forever. If that's happened to you, we would love to talk with you after the service. We're not asking you to join the church or do anything like that. We just love to give you a Bible and thank you for praying that prayer tonight. But the Bible tells us, you prayed that prayer, that God has forgiven you and you will spend eternity in heaven. That's a guarantee. The baby came. Innocence in a manger. God's revealing to you, you can trust me. Look what I'm doing. Look what I've done. Give me your life. I gave my life for you. Let's stand and worship the Lord.